Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Everyone to the 64th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan Senpai, and with me is the uncommon rider, Sean.
Hey.
Hey, Sean.
The stupid awesome analyst, John.
Hello.
And the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And also joining us for this episode is Nerdy Show's community manager, Trench.
Woo!
Yo!
Somehow he sneaked his way in here. He's actually spying on us so he can report back to Cap and say, yo, guys, we gotta get rid of these guys.
No more.
No more.
No more.
Nope.
You've caught on to my nefarious plots.
Yes.
Oh, all right. We're pretty smart. We're actually pretty smart. But, you know, we'll let it slide this time.
That's something pretty smart people never say.
And here's the thing. I said plots. They are numerous and varied. You've only caught on to one so far. So.
Oh, boy.
Watch yourselves.
Yes.
We're doomed.
Trench is an Illuminati within himself.
Yes.
So he's going to take over the world.
He's a one-man secret society.
Yeah, he's so secret that all other societies don't know he's a society. It's brilliant.
I'm seeing some flaws in our logic.
Well, at least you say that it's our logic, so we're sharing the flaws.
No, there's no flaws. Remember, they're pretty smart.
And this is why I've been downgraded to guest host.
Hey, did you guys see Age of Ultron this weekend?
Hell no. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like the only one who hasn't.
It was the worst Voltron movie I ever saw. There was not a single robot lion in the entire movie.
Good chat.
and that's my anime joke.
Good chat. Wow.
No, that movie was awesome, man.
Yeah, I actually thought Age of Ultron was much better than the first one, easily.
It fixed all the flaws that the first one had.
Yeah.
Which was not caring about the lesser characters, a.k.a. Black Widow and
Hawkeye.
They were awesome characters in
Yeah, so, like, yeah.
Jeremy stole that movie.
Yeah, they, like...
They
came back from that first one, that first, you know, like, oh, they're trying to make me care, but I don't. And then, like, in this one, I was just like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, thank you very much for fixing that.
At the end of the movie, you're just like, all the feels just hurt.
Yeah. Well, not really, because it was kind of ruined by the girl. There was a row of girls who were sitting in front of us that whenever Chris Hemsworth showed up, they went, oh. And then whenever anything happened between Bruce Banner and Scarlett Johansson, and that's weird, I used one's actor name and one character name.
She was also you can say Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow. They were just going, yeah! Like making that sound, you know, wow. That you'd never want to hear.
So you sat with a bunch of xenomorphs?
Let's talk about animorphs instead.
There actually were xenomorphs, Sean, so that's very culturally insensitive.
I actually got to take back what I've said in the past, too. I actually got to change my position on what I think of Scarlett Johansson now, because I...
Oh, you finally on board?
Well, not that...
Wait a second.
Not that I really enjoy the character of Black Widow so much, still, but I really, really just like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
I've seen all the promotional stuff that she's been a part of since Age of Ultron's been coming out, and how just so adorable she is in real life.
Yeah, like, as, like, an actor, like, what they make her as a character is never usually that bold or that big, but, like, in real life, as her as a person, she's just so cool and so adorable.
Yeah.
So you're on board for Ghost in a Shell?
I don't know. Well, that is still up in the air.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch.
You guys are
not
going to be
ahead of ourselves here. Hey, you know, so this is probably the longest intro we've ever done, and we still haven't even gotten to the news. We should ring the news bell.
News.
Let's do some news.
News.
News. Okay.
That's the most disorganized Bruce Bell yet.
I know, isn't it? That's not what a bell sounds like. So, first off, in media news, we actually got one of our associates in the anime media industry. We met him, Joshua. He is the CEO of the media outlet Cosplayer Nation. We got to talk in with him at Anime Boston this year, and we got to talking about his documentary that he's working on that's all about the art of cosplay and the culture itself. And we started talking about his documentary, and they released a 15-minute preview of the documentary on YouTube recently. And
like, right after Anime Boston.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the description for you guys so that you can watch that. But he was gracious enough to send us the entire documentary as a preview, and we are happy to share our thoughts and give a little review of it for you guys. It's actually really good. It touched on so many different points of the culture of cosplay itself. Like, they got an interview with the Japanese writer who coined the phrase cosplay, you know, or the word cosplay, which is pretty cool. You know, they talked about his article.
Well, it was a really interesting thing, too, that the word cosplay actually started here in the United States.
Yeah, in, like, the 1940s, there was, like, the first sci-fi convention ever, and there were two guys who went dressed up, and that was the very first cosplay ever. Yeah.
He took notice and brought that idea back to Japan. And it exploded and flourished in Japan.
Yeah. Sounds like anime.
Yeah. So it took on its life of its own because, you know, Japan really likes, you know, the outside cultural stuff that they kind of adapt. But they're also more, you know, with the kabuki and stuff like that that they've always done, geishas. You know, they touch on all these points that, you know, they're a very costume-friendly society to begin with. And, you know, it's something that they would embrace, you know, outright, which was really cool. And then they even get onto some... you know, controversial stuff where they even interviewed at one point Yaya Han and her thoughts on what everybody thinks about Heroes of Cosplay on the Sci-Fi Network, which I thought was really bold.
Yeah, because as everybody knows, there are not very many cosplayers that like the show Heroes of Cosplay.
Yeah. it didn't do very well for the image, or at least that's what the community as a whole thinks. And they got to that point where they talked about it, which I thought was really cool. So, I mean, if you want to check out the 15-minute preview, it's down in the description. And if you want to find Cosplayer Nation at anyone, they do a lot of New England cons, but they also go to Anime Expo and they go to...
Kauai Con in Hawaii.
Yeah, they go...
Like, they go everywhere.
They go to, like, 50 cons a year. It's amazing. But they're looking to show this documentary at all these cons eventually.
Yeah, you like know, as so a that panel. They,
as a panel. Kanadicon was the most recent one that I remember. But we'll put, if we have the chance, we'll be able to put some more description of it in our description. So Cosplayer Nation is really good. You should check it out. Especially if you like the culture of cosplay itself. Next up in media news, I got a news piece that I saw. Pacific Rim 2 was pushed back till August 2017.
Well, are you surprised?
No, I am surprised because now that Silent Hills is canceled, Guillermo del Toro has a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's going to come up later. We'll probably have a whole discussion on how disappointed we are about that.
Yeah, he might be mourning for a while.
Yeah, he's just, oh.
So, wait, was there any news as to why he stepped away, or are they still all hush-hush about that?
No one knows what's going on at Konami.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you know what? Let's just talk about it now.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I was concerned about. This was the thing that I was concerned about when we first brought up that Kojima was leaving Konami.
Yeah.
I said, what's going to happen to Silent Hills? And you guys were like, oh, it's probably going to be fine. And it wasn't.
Well, that was my, like, my spirit power that I was giving to Goku. Like, hoping that Guillermo del Toro would collect it and be like, no, they're right, it's gonna be fine. But that just didn't work.
No. Guillermo del Toro
wasted all of that life energy.
Yeah.
Didn't I, though?
Yeah, his spirit bomb did not.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro's spirit bomb. I can see that happening.
But that's just it. Like, Kojima... Like, Kojima leaving is a really big deal, and I think it's going to really, really hurt
Yeah, Konami as a whole is going to be hurt.
Yeah, it's been like a weird trend with several of these Japanese companies. Like, I forget all the names associated with the projects, but even at Konami, the guy who was like the brainchild of Castlevania left a while ago, and that's like killed Castlevania pretty much. The same thing with whoever, I forget his name now, was in charge of Team Ico, leaving Last Guardian.
Oh, yeah.
The same thing with, was it Inafune and Mega Man at Capcom?
Yep.
Oh, so it's... They're all breaking off so that they can all go make their own independent companies.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's probably not a bad thing for Kojima, but it's probably going to be a bad thing for Konami if, you know, older trends are, you know, going to continue.
Yeah. If the next Tekken game fails, Konami's done.
Yeah, once...
that's all they got.
Yeah, once he leaves, once the director of Tekken leaves...
Unless they make another side-scrolling Ninja Turtles game, which that would be totally cool. Speaking of, you mentioned Mega Man. Speaking of which, that's another thing that was just delayed. It was pushed back to 2017, the Mighty No. 9. The hard copy release version of it is going to be pushed back to 2017. So Mega Man Dude is also running into delays.
And what else?
And Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, and Ghost in the Shell. Like everything.
Wait, the game?
No, the movie.
Oh, better not be the game. Oh. That game looks freaking awesome.
Thank you. Have you guys talked about the Robotech movie?
No.
Go ahead.
Have you not heard about this?
I have not heard.
I don't think so.
What's the word?
James Wan, the guy that directed Furious 7 and Saw, is in talks to do Robotech.
Really?
Yeah.
That's such a weird mix. I mean, Furious 7, it makes sense to me, of course, you know, but Saw?
As long as it's not Michael Bay. Oh, sorry,
hey,
Sean.
Hey.
Sorry, I forgot.
No, in this particular instance, I would agree. I don't think Michael Bay is the right person.
Woody Allen. Woody Allen's Robotech.
Terry Gilliam's Robotech.
See, I want more Robotech, anything, because I love Robotech. But Sony is the studio behind this, and a lot of the things that Sony is doing with other projects makes me really fucking nervous.
Sony is that studio that is just waiting to go under.
See, which is weird, because Sony makes great anything except for movies. Yeah. It seems. I mean, they've had good movies, but I'm not saying they make bad movies. I'm just saying
they
like,
make terrible movies.
Okay, there you have it.
What is Sean? What is your worst Sony movie that you've ever seen?
Any of the Spider-Mans?
I like the first Spider-Man.
Stop it! You're wrong. No, it is terrible. Specifically, I'm talking about the Tobey Maguire ones.
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah,
because
you like the Andrew Garfield. You like the Andrew Garfield ones better?
I did. I like them a lot more.
Yeah, okay. They're way better.
I like Andrew Garfield's.
I agree with you. I felt like popular opinion was that people like Tobey Maguire's better, but maybe I'm just talking to the wrong people.
People are allowed to be wrong.
That's right.
That just proves that people are cinematically illiterate. Like, they don't understand what a good movie is. Then they just like spectacle, and that's wrong. I can't believe I just said that. Oh, my God. After being the Michael Bay proponent for so long. He has a place in cinema. It's just not everywhere.
There's a lot of flaunting opinion as fact in this episode so far.
And that's... We approve. We absolutely approve.
Don't ask us to cite our references.
Trent, I have been completely opinionated, but it doesn't matter. I state everything I know as fact. I'm sorry.
And if you've never gotten the chance to, Trench, you get to do it now on this show. So do it up.
Hey, I always back up all of my opinions with references.
With the internet.
As long as you sound confident in your answer, no one's going to know the difference.
Exactly.
Have I ever not sounded confident?
Politics 101.
Yeah, right. And say it louder than the other guy.
I also do that.
Yeah!
I just thought it was interesting. I think James Wan does a good job handling people. So I think the intricate relations of like the human aspect of Robotech he'd do really well with. But I just want to see a Robotech movie.
That would be really cool. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be cool.
Trench, you had some stuff, right?
Yeah, you had news, Trench.
So did you guys hear about Dragon Ball Super, the new Dragon Ball?
Yes.
Anime?
Yes, we... Indeed, we did. We were gonna talk. Yeah.
What do you got for that? I really don't know anything about it.
It's like the only anime they don't watch.
Coming out in July, that it's taking place after Z, and that they're going to have an enemy that's supposed to be stronger than Boo and Frieza.
I'm shocked. I hope it's
And I'm kind of curious as to whether or not they're just ignoring GT, or...
They are. Yeah. They've stated they are.
I was going to say, I hope it's another GT.
You can't ignore the Grand Tour.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I've heard about Super so far is, like, please... Like, the fact that we got Sailor Moon Crystal as the remake, and everybody's popular opinion of that is that it's not good. That people are like, oh, it's like another remake that they're doing. I hope that they really don't screw it up in today's day and age of anime.
But I believe that this will, like, I really don't have any interest in catching up or watching Dragon Ball Z unless I watch Kai. I kind of want to watch Kai. But if Super starts, I have no problem watching Super.
Yeah. All you got to know is that there were fights in the first one, and they won, except for Yamcha.
Yamcha always loses.
Now, is this, did they say anything about the Battle of the Gods movie? Like, if it's going to be after the events of Battle of the Gods, so Goku can go in God mode in this series?
This article I've got doesn't say anything about that.
Spoiler alert, Goku goes in the God mode.
That's what the whole movie was about!
I didn't know that.
It does say take place after Resurrection F.
Oh.
So the new Frieza movie that's coming out.
Yeah, so that's the one that's coming out. Yeah. So yeah, I would say yes. I wonder if he goes into God mode to fight Frieza. That'd be crazy.
Well, wouldn't that be funny if he did and Frieza was just a pushover? Because they had so much trouble with him in the original Dragon Ball Z series that, like, he goes into God mode just like, eh.
Well, it's kind of like when you turn off an MMO and but the game keeps playing, so everybody gets stronger. You go back to the MMO in like 2 years, it's just like you're still level 12, and everybody's like, I'm level 50, and that's what Frieza is. He's just like, I was just regenerating. Oh no, everybody's stronger.
So the entire extent of my knowledge of Dragon Ball Z comes entirely from DBZ Abridged.
That's close
enough.
That's
okay. That is acceptable.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like, I'm actually kind of excited about this because I know what's going on. And my version of DBZ was way more entertaining than y'all's was.
There's a lot less waiting.
Yeah.
It's much better paced.
And if you haven't watched Helsing and Bridge, you should.
No, Helsing and Bridge was terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
What?
Yeah.
We've discussed this before, man.
Okay, fine, whatever. Again, you're wrong, but that's
no.
Okay, I'm gonna have to join him on this one. That's pretty good stuff right there.
No,
that is some
our
highbrow
show,
humor.
And our opinion trumps all your wrong opinions.
I'm going to invent a way to punch you through the internet, and then I'm gonna make millions because everybody else will want
to
use it too.
You also get sued, probably.
I don't even have to work that hard. I just have to wait until they come down in June.
Yeah. Well, I can do the same thing.
But you have to drive. You have to drive.
I don't think we've talked about this before, because I just recently saw this, that they're doing an American version of a Death Note movie.
Yes. I just heard
about this as well.
That's been in development for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, but they just, like, recently started, like, talking about it again.
Is Zac Efron still going to be light?
No, I think the news now is that they have a director attached now, which is Adam Wingard.
Wingard, yeah.
Yeah, who directed... I haven't seen any of his movies, but he directed The Guest and Your Next, along with several other horror films. And we were talking about before how you guys hate VHS 3.
Yeah.
Well, he worked on just the first two, and he didn't work on the third one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
That makes a lot of sense. I was just going to say, yeah, VHS 3, like, they broke their own formula. Like, the first two were really cool, and then number three, they were just like, let's do it wrong. And then, like, they storyboarded it out, and then it was like, yeah, put it into production. That's what it felt like.
Okay, two questions real quick. One, are these VHSs on, like, Netflix or something?
Yes, they're all on Netflix.
They're on VHS.
Okay, I'll have to check them out.
The first two are horrifying, or some of them are.
Yeah.
Not all the movies are scary, but, like, there's, like, at least one in each one that's, like, horrifying.
Yeah, there's at least one that gets you.
Okay,
it's really cool.
I'll check it out. I'm kind of curious. The second thing is I would love to see David Fincher do...
Oh, yeah!
Death Note.
Yeah.
I feel like it's right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like this is the time you get a cerebral director.
Yeah, that's I would like that because yeah, David Fincher works really well with psychology.
But is he like an anime? Like, does he know his source material?
No.
He's probably too expensive.
Honestly. Probably is. But here's the thing: is if you look at his camera work and how he sets everything up, he has a very dispossessed camera. He doesn't like doing handheld at all.
Yeah.
And he likes locking it down, and he gives us this weird, like, omnipresence feeling to all of his work.
You've watched Every Frame of Painting, haven't
about
you?
To say.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I love Every Frame of Painting.
But I noticed this before that.
Yeah. All of them were great.
Yeah, but David Fincher specifically, I've always been a big fan of. So Seven is a terrifying movie.
Oh, yeah. I love Seven.
Everybody, link in the description for Every Frame of Painting of David Fincher.
Yeah.
Tony and is why amazing. He is the best choice for Death Note.
But what do you guys think of, like, an American Death Note? Because I personally feel like that's actually a pretty okay anime to make, like, an American version of. Because there wasn't...
Yes.
It, like, the story can translate easily to, I think, any...
Culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I would go see it. Because I'm not the biggest Death Note fan as far as the anime goes. You know, I saw the first time I saw it was great, but I would never watch it again. Because, I mean, you can't go back and be like, this is my favorite episode of Death Note. Oh, they're talking the whole time.
That was always my thing about Death Note, is I think it works way better as a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to compress the pacing a lot more,
yeah.
And you actually get to build suspense through something other than freaking waiting.
How are you supposed to know how smart they are if you don't see a wall of text?
Yeah, well...
Because have you watched Sherlock, or Get That director?
See,
jeez.
See, because I actually, there was at one point when I was watching Death Note, like, when I was going through Death Note, I watched it a little bit in Japanese first, and then they announced that it was coming to America, so I decided to watch it in America, and then I couldn't wait week to week, because every episode was just talking, so I decided to go to the manga, and that was a mistake, because the manga is,
the same.
Yeah,
the words have won.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, there's so much text in one bubble that they leave room so that they can draw a little picture of light in what he's explaining down in this with the entire speech bubble taking up.
I told you, as a comic book author, that book was like my victory.
Yeah.
It's so, like, yeah. Ha! There's no room for art! You suck!
So I ended up going back to watching it in Japanese and finishing it in Japanese. So I went full circle on Death Note. And then after I watched it, I was just like, I can't watch it again. I know, because, I mean, it's a mystery anime, and after you watch a mystery and the mystery is solved, like, what are you going to go watch? Like, you can't watch it again.
Yeah, I can't watch episodes of Conan until, like, years after the fact, where I'm like, I don't remember how he solves this one.
And I've had so much trouble getting back into Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
And that's the whole point, is, like, you need to make it a suspense thriller and not a mystery.
Yeah.
And that's done through direction, not through story.
Yeah. Almost right. like the series Monster, which Guillermo del Toro is doing.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't have to do Silent Hills anymore. Why? When is Monster coming out?
Del Toro, we deserve answers.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. I heard you tapping on the table, too.
Sorry. I'm a very emphatic speaker.
One more quick fact about Adam Wingard is that he graduated from Full Sail University in 2002.
No kidding.
Really? Yeah,
he's an alum from our college.
Yeah, that's six years before we even started.
Yeah.
So the anime Terraformers is getting a live-action adaption. I'm not sure if we talked about this before on the show yet or not.
We did.
But
Takashi Miike.
Yeah, we talked about how Takashi Miike, the king of gore and arterial splatter films in Japan, is making it. Well, now the writer of Gurren Lagann is on the project for the live-action adaption.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah. Gurren Lagann and Kill la Kill. He wrote the script for both Gurren Lagann and Kill la Kill. Takashi Miike is directing it. I cannot even process how excited I am.
I just have to say that writer nailed it out of the park, two shows in a row.
Yeah, right?
And not only that, but they also announced who's going to be playing the character Shakichi who's like one of the main characters who has like the goatee, and he's like he's wicked cool, like a great character. They announced that Hideki Itō is playing him.
I've seen Western Django. That one was also done by Takashi Miike.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this guy is a Takashi Miike actor, and that's why
it was an American Western done with an entire cast of Japanese people.
and it was pretty cool.
I think I saw that.
It wasn't the best, but it was pretty cool.
Did Tarantino produce that or like bring it to the States or something?
Yes, okay. He did. Yeah, it was one of those things. Quentin Tarantino presents Takashi Miike's Western Django.
So he's got a pretty long track record. His earliest movie was in 1999. So
Now he gets to be a bee.
So he, yeah, so
a wasp.
Yeah, he's a wasp.
It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be so cool. If you guys didn't see Terraformers, you have to, because it's amazing.
It's really violent,
and it's in our hardcore anime panel. It's so violent. So we kind of went over my gaming news with Silent Hills being canceled, and we had a big discussion about that. And Konami, rest in peace.
Wow.
Whoa!
You just death knelled that thing.
Yeah, didn't I? And I have no strange news, which is the strangest of all. Well, we do have a little bit of strange news, do we?
I almost thought we were going to make it.
Yeah, it's not the strangest news we have. It rolls off of the strange news that we had last week with Dylan presenting the Chinese strippers at funerals.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, recap, China is putting strippers in funerals.
Yeah,
now.
So that the families can get better luck with more people attending.
Yep.
Now...
it's really weird. Sorry to interrupt, but
no,
like,
go ahead.
I listened to the last week's or the previous episode earlier this morning, prepare myself to, you know, familiarize myself with the format, all that kind of stuff. So you guys talk about that. Then one of my roommates starts watching Blacklist, and the enemy of the week or whatever was a dude that was kidnapping girls and killing them to send them to China so that they could be the dead, you know, bride.
You're kidding me.
Oh my gosh.
No.
What? Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Blacklist really is weird. Taking notes from our show.
Yeah, that's right. So branching off from that story that we talked about last week, literally the second we finished the recording, a new news article popped up saying Chinese government begs people to stop hiring strippers for funerals.
What do you think, if you were in this situation and you could no longer hire a stripper, what would you do to get people to come to your funeral?
Oh.
Well, you might have to set this up beforehand.
Shrimp burgers.
Bunless shrimp burgers. Bunless shrimp burgers? Now we're doing it opposite?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It was shrimpless.
Shrimpless shrimp burgers.
It was bread.
It was bread. Yeah, that's it. Free bread with extra butter.
There we go.
Oh, that would bring all the boys to the yard.
You'd have a lot of homeless in attendance.
For your grandma's funeral.
You don't even have to get weird with it. You just have to have an open bar with a lot of booze.
Yeah, no, that's pretty true, you know. Well, I mean, you could serve fresh air and China would be like, yes.
Here's some oxygen.
I'm all over that.
Whoa.
That's really wrong.
What? That's where we draw the line? It's just like, oh, we're going to ignore this giant smog cloud over China. Sorry. You make one China smog joke, and everybody's just like, whoa, this is not Detroit.
It's all right. They don't listen to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We've already alienated
we've
them.
We've made sure to alienate them.
What was it? Episode 4?
We just kept hammering it home.
See, and I just made that Detroit joke, and nobody was like, that's wrong. No.
Yeah, like, everybody was just like, no, Detroit's okay. Like, you can make fun of Detroit.
Yeah.
Or Detroit's like, yeah, that's us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Detroit, America's Mad Max.
No, Dylan, that's L.A. They have no water.
Yeah, but they've got crazy cars in Detroit.
It's true. They got the scrapyard cars.
All those extra GM pieces. That.
Yeah.
So that's as strange as it gets. Yes. Which means now it is time for our fetish of the week.
We go on to what you're watching.
No, that's after.
Yeah, well, you
wait your turn.
Don't start with me.
Yeah. Thank you, Godzilla. Okay, so, so we actually have, this is a literal fetish of the week.
Yeah, because it's only a week long.
Because it has to do with Golden Week in Japan.
Get your history caps on, because this actually gets pretty interesting.
For those of you who don't know what Golden Week is, it is a extended week of... like just back to back holidays. So the same way that we have the stretch of Thanksgiving
into Christmas
into New Year's, and everybody takes a lot of vacation days off. Well, that's what this week is in Japan. Except because the Japanese people are so efficient, they never take time off of work.
Yeah, so there's so they always just sit and work stuck while they miss their April to May vacation.
Yeah, and a lot of them like don't feel like there's been a weird thing where, you know, the government has been mandating that you take time off of work because that's why Japanese people die so early, is because they just work themselves into the ground.
They literally work themselves to death.
So here's a little fetish of the week for the people who are skipping their golden week and staying at work. Japanese women have been doing a trend where they just take a picture of their legs. Like, they take a picture of their legs, post it on Twitter, and, like, tweet it to working through your golden week. To encourage businessmen who are, you know, upset about working through their golden week.
Dude, that is so my fetish.
So, yeah, that's literally all it is.
If you look up the hashtag on Twitter... what is the hashtag?
The literal hashtag is hashtag show leg to show support for salary men.
Jeez, can't we like breathe?
A long hashtag.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
you don't have room
for an actual post on Twitter.
No, you don't have room for a message that takes up all 144 characters. But yeah, so you just get you take a picture of your, or ladies, you take a picture of your legs
just sitting down. Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing filthy.
Actually, it could be. Because we on the article that we found on Rocket News, it says this is the less not safe for work version. So if you actually go to Twitter and you put in that hashtag, there may be more not safe for work ones.
And the hashtag, that's the translation
but
of the hashtag.
But it's for work. How is it not safe for work? They're at work.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the bosses are probably on vacation, so, you know.
So you're safe at work for Golden Week. Are you going to Twitter right now?
I'm going to Twitter and I'm going to post. I'm going to.
What was that long ass hashtag again?
Yeah. Here, I'll go to the.
Wow, this. Yeah, this. Ooh, what? Woof. That's somebody's dog.
Speaking of which, now there's women who work out there too. So, like, there's no hashtag version for the ladies out there. This is what the article was saying. What is that?
Those are Resident Evil characters that are mostly leg. Or mostly Resident Evil monsters is what I should say.
So the call in the article was for the gentlemen out there to post something for the ladies who are working. So we're going to start that trend. We're calling you to start the trend. Now, I don't think anybody wants to see anything on me. So... maybe they do. I don't know.
I don't know. This seems like a pretty popular tag. We could probably get some really good notoriety by posting our Wicked Anime.
Do we want that notoriety?
Super
maybe.
Sexy elbows for hardworking ladies. Hashtag.
But we have to make it
longer than that somehow.
We do have our own Japanese followers on our Twitter. Iba Girl.
Oh, yeah. Iba Girl. We got to find out what she likes. And then
she'll unfollow you.
That's right. Yeah, just send her a message. Hey, what can I send you that it would be your favorite part of my body?
Yeah, that's perfect.
That would go over.
Wow,
that
that's
would go
just
over
like a restraining
fine.
Order waiting to happen.
No, it would be perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Just send it to a Japanese superhero, and you know, nothing wrong will come out of it.
Because technically, she's a robot. She doesn't have rights.
Yeah, right. She's yeah.
Your equipment.
Everyone just let that sit.
Everyone just lets that one go.
This episode.
We can talk about Detroit,
Chinese
man.
Chinese robots, Detroit.
Yeah, no robots are ever going to listen to our show.
What are we doing?
Maybe that's good. That'll get rid of all the spam bots.
Oh, she's holding a recorder.
Oh, is that the bathing suit one?
Yeah.
That one was awesome. And that was Japan's finish of the week!
Yeah, we should get back to recording.
Okay, so let's move on to what we're watching. I've been watching some new stuff that, like, along with the new stuff that I've been watching this season, I have watched some new shows, and the newest one that started after we recorded last week's episode was Studio Trigger's new show, Ninja Slayer.
Yep.
Which, okay, if you guys haven't seen Inferno Cop, which was the first project that Studio Trigger ever did alone, if you love Adult Swim shows, you will love both Inferno Cop and Ninja Slayer. It's that flash animation paper cutout sort of style. And what they did for for Ninja Slayer, though, was they have all their dialogues and certain scenes set up to emulate that Adult Swim paper cutout style that is really popular with the William Street guys. And then they take these scenes when the action scenes start, you really see Studio Trigger thrive. You know, you get your Gurren Lagann, Kill la Kill, to mention those two things again. Those quality style action scenes whenever the Ninja Slayer starts fighting ninjas. It's really ridiculous. It's probably like, if you look at the show from an outside point, it's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it really is. But that is the brilliance of Studio Trigger. I love Studio Trigger. Watch Ninja Slayer. You can at least watch the first two episodes on Funimation for free. Who's next?
I just tried watching a few more episodes of Triage X, and I'll probably talk about that later for our topic today, because I'm probably not going to continue watching it.
No, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like any of the characters, really. None of them are that interesting to me, and I don't really understand what motivates a lot of them.
Well, I know what motivates them, if you want me to explain. It's because, well, it's not great, but you're on the same
boat as Dylan, where you're just like, it's just getting worse.
My liking for the show peaked at episode 2, and now it's roller coastering down.
Yeah, and then also the fact that it's all of the violence and fan service is just covered by huge, blatant white or black clouds at this point.
I know. There's a Blu-ray release to find out what it looks like.
There's so many scenes that are either in a shower or in a in an onsen of any kind, and there is so much white steam covering everything. You might as well just make the whole scene white. It doesn't even make
and
a difference.
I think it was the first episode that the censoring actually hurt one of the scenes, I thought, because I read a couple issues of the manga, and in the first episode, they're in a shower, of course, a guy and a girl, and it's the first time that the female sees the male. I don't remember what the male character's name is. That's how much
just,
I like
just,
it.
Just go with female and male. It's
female
fine.
And male. Yeah, she sees him without a shirt off and no clothes on, and he's just covered in scars because he's basically like a Frankenstein put together with parts of a friend of his. But, in the show, you don't see any of that. All you see is his head and then a white cloud underneath him and then her reaction,
yeah.
So, you don't get the impact of, oh, this guy is, he's been...
really messed
up.
Yeah,
he's been through some stuff.
You can just tell by the way he's so dark and brooding.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you have to go on, really.
Yeah. You should have just said his name was Daisuke.
That's probably close enough. I'm pretty sure it does start with a D. But I'm probably not going to continue watching that.
I'm actually probably not either.
Just read the manga online.
Last week I said it was one of my favorites, and now I've completely dropped that. I've watched up to episode 4 and I was like, man, this isn't going anywhere. And now my favorite has actually turned into Food Wars, which was the cooking show, which is a complete and total food porn. It's amazing. You should watch it. You should watch Food Wars because it's awesome. Again, there's fan service in it, but it's hilarious fan service.
Yeah. See, I like it when
Senpai is where it's at. And
is he the guy with the apron?
Yeah, he's the dude with the apron.
I know. Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar. He's just like this really. He's basically an Orin High School Host Club character in this show that is not that. And there are these moments where he's cooking, and suddenly he's just wearing the apron.
He's got a pedo bear type bear face on the front of it too.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's really funny. And the first time you meet the character, he goes to get the main character. He's like, "Hey, we're having a party," but he says it by lifting a tile up in his ceiling and peeking out through the tile.
One of the shows that I'm watching this new season stuff is Etotama.
Oh yeah,
and that is this year's coined cat girl anime.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. One, it's adorable. It's absolutely adorable. It's about Chinese zodiacs. And so it's the personification, the animalizations,
The Moetons.
The Moetons of these Chinese zodiacs, and how the cat has never had
a zodiac.
And so she's and it's about the whole battle system and how they all work their way in to become a zodiac of the year. And so it's all adorable. It's like a destructive force of cuteness. That is what the show is. And then at the end of episode three, it was just like, whoa, that was a dark turn. Like, it just, like, it just all of a sudden just goes way dark. Cool. I haven't watched episode four quite yet, but I'm going to.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, it was great. But I've also kind of noticed that this season, this spring season of anime is the spring season of the cat girl.
Is it really?
Yeah, because, like,
I haven't seen a single one.
No, Edotama has cat girls in it. Danmachi, which is it okay to try to pick up girls in a dungeon, which is a great show.
Yeah.
Has cat girls in it. And then some third one that I've been watching.
Third one to push my argument.
Yeah.
Because of rules of three, you know.
But I've seen cat girls everywhere this season, and I'm like, I'm way happy about that. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's great.
It turns out Andrew's just hallucinating.
Yeah, this actually isn't real. You've been in a coma for the past 14 years.
Wake up, Andrew.
Trying to wake you up.
Wake up.
Don't wake me up! Don't wake me up! And then I have another thing to talk about, which is what Trench touched on before in the news. Everybody else finish, and we'll talk about
naked
that afterwards.
Naked dudes and aprons?
Yeah. So everybody else, go ahead, and then I'll talk about that one.
I'm also watching Food Wars.
Great.
Started watching Seraph of the End, which is kind of like a post-apocalyptic, humans are contracting with demons to fight vampires kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really British.
That's really boring.
Watching Ultimate Otaku Teacher.
I've heard that's really good.
I read the manga first, so I'm just watching the anime just to see how that goes, and I like it. It's really funny.
Good.
And then my youth romantic comedy is Wrong as I Expected is the other one.
I heard about that one, but I don't know anything about it.
This guy, it's a high school student, and he doesn't have any friends. He gets basically strong-armed into joining a club by his teacher because his teacher is worried about him, and it's the club's purpose is to just like help people out with their problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he ends up helping people out with their problems is he basically does some kind of like twisted thing that makes everybody hate him, but it fixes the problem for everybody else. That was the first season, and the second season is kind of focusing on everybody else kind of taking interest in him and trying to correct his tendency to, take all of the blame and make everybody hate him.
Huh.
Oh, that's really weird.
Yeah.
How they turn it around like that. That's a really good idea, though.
Yeah, it does.
I'm interested.
That sounds cool.
I am finishing up Sword Art Online 2.
Cool.
Currently.
I still need to start that show.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Hold on. No. I don't think I...
It's the new Spirited Away for you.
Yeah, right. I'm just going to... Let me try that again. What?
I still need to start that show, Sean.
Wake up.
I just didn't think I conveyed enough disgust in there.
I'm sorry. I want to watch it.
It's right up your alley. I have no other... Like, it's great. The action is fantastic. It's got a really dark storyline.
I know.
100% less tentacles?
No tentacles that I've been aware
100%
of.
100% less tentacles, but 100% more catgirls.
Actually, yeah, the entire, second half of the show is cat. There's catgirls.
I know.
He's so excited.
Yeah. I was, indifferent. I was like, what? There's laser swords? Hell yes.
For me, it was kind of that whole, as long as they were in the VR MMO, it was interesting. As soon as they stopped focusing on that, it was not interesting.
See, and I found that some of the, real world stuff, when you start getting into the culture of Japan, was, really interesting, especially all the stuff with Shion, and how they treat people that kill people over there, even in self-defense. It gets really messed up.
See,
That part of it was, cool. I'm talking more about the stuff that happened in the second half of the anime.
Oh,
that season.
Oh,
I don't want to go spoilers for you.
Oh, I liked Asuna. I was glad that she finally got her own arc.
That was another thing that I like to add, though, is that one of the things that got me interested was just the character designs. Shion's design, to me, is just so great. Even something as simple as that would just be I need to watch it. I want to see what she's all about.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was literally designed for you. You as a person. That is your favorite kind of character, I can tell you. Oh, all I'm right. finally finishing up Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Because oh, last, yes!
13 right. episodes are not on Netflix. I had to go find them.
Yes.
That's got to be our next homework episode. Yeah. I think we got to do one real soon.
Homework.
I think most of us have seen it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even watch it with people. I get so excited.
That's good. And so if that's everybody, something that Trench touched on in news that popped up was the whole Boruto thing that showed up.
Oh,
yeah. Naruto Gaiden. And actually, one of our fans sent us over a link to, you know, a manga reader online, a scanlations of the first issue. And so I read it. What do you know as far as it goes, Trench, seeing that you were going to touch on it?
I've read it. I've read the first chapter.
Did you? Did you like it?
I was not really thrilled with the end of Naruto. I just felt like it was a lot of build-up for really kind of a mediocre, you know, resolution to everything.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just kind of like reading it more just for it to justify things to me, I guess.
Still looking for that satisfaction.
Yeah,
he's like, it can't end here. It can't end here. I don't know. For me, I read the first issue and I really enjoyed it. And what it actually did for me was because I'm not caught up on Naruto, but I want to be. And I think that's what it's doing for me is the fact that I'm jumping on to Naruto by starting to read Boruto. And now I kind of want to just be like, well, now I have to go read Shippuden because I want to know what happens. Like, I want to know. And my Naruto knowledge is broad enough that I know the basics and what happens and what goes on, what the characters are like, who the characters are. I know who their children are. I know who the couples are who make these children, which is really interesting in some respects, because some of the children characters are really weird.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I kind of, you know, didn't like, was that they, like, some of the romantic, like, the pairings were really weird to me, and the character designs of their children were just kind of like, what the hell is that?
I think, and I think I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about Ino's daughter, right?
Like, that's a son, the one with Sai, yeah, I'm not sure.
it's essentially, her name is Chocho, right? I think it's Chocho.
No, that's Choji's daughter.
Is it? Oh, okay. Then you're talking about two different people.
Then we're talking about two different characters.
They're not all the same, Andrew.
So who is Choji's wife then?
We don't know. Glitch and I couldn't figure it out.
Just some random shinobi from one of the other villages.
Okay, because she has... I know that Choji was talking to her, and I was just like, well, that must be her dad, so that's how it kind of, like, went away from that. But she has, like, Inu's exact haircut, right?
We're talking...
Maybe Inu cuts her hair. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm just saying, like... Yeah, oh, yeah, maybe Inu is her hairstylist, yeah.
Brad sent that to us.
Yeah, our fan Brad was the one who sent us over that. So thank you very much, Brad. I'm glad that you did that, because I actually wasn't sure when it was going to start reading, you know, when I was going to be able to start reading it. So I'm glad I did. Now I have it bookmarked, so I'm going to start getting all the... I'm gonna start reading it.
And hopefully find out who Inu's daughter is.
Inu was one of my favorite ninjas, but a lot of the characters are my favorite ninjas. Because they showed Shikamaru in it, and Shikamaru was great. He showed up and he was, like, talking to Boruto. And Boruto was just like, okay, I gotta go, but, like, Shikamaru was just like, no, you're not, and he already had his shadow connected to him, and he's just like, come on, man, like, let me go. He's like, your dad is busy, leave him alone.
What I'm interested to see in that series is what, like, the major conflict will end up being, if they're gonna try and top what they did with Shippuden, because I don't really want to spoil anything, but they, like... They just kept having layers and layers of more powerful villains.
Yeah, that was kind of the other thing that I'm kind of like, how is this happening? Because Naruto and Sasuke are basically god mode at this point.
Yeah.
So what kind of threat can they possibly present to warrant a continuation of the story?
Maybe they're going to kill them all, and then it's just like just going to leave the kids.
That would be scary.
Wouldn't that be so awful? But what the way that the first issue ended of the Boruto thing was, it's really weird because Sarada is more the main character at the moment, at least just for that first issue.
Yeah,
because she doesn't know who her dad is. She's never met Sasuke. She knows who Sasuke is, but she's never met him. And this like little comical thing happens where she and Sakura have a little bit of a tiff, and Sakura freaks out and smashes the ground and using her, you know, her crazy powered, you know, ninjutsu that she acquired and smashes the house to pieces. And that was kind of bizarre. But Sarada's going through the smashed up house and finds the picture of her dad and realizes that the picture's folded over and there's another woman there.
No, that was Karin from his Sasuke's evil team.
Oh, is that what it was?
Okay. Yeah, so that was kind of her thing. Was she was like, "Oh, is this my real mom?" Because she's like, "Oh, I don't look like
exactly Sakura
at all."
See, that's what I gathered from it. Was yeah. I guess I just don't have the Naruto knowledge to know that, but that was but that helps. But yeah, I'm jumping on Naruto because of Boruto.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah.
The other thing that was what I was bringing that up about was that apparently, because that's actually a mini series, and it's apparently one of the first parts of like what is it called? Naruto's New Era Opening Project.
Yeah.
So apparently there's more to come out of the Naruto franchise.
So this is going to be like the next JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, except way longer. 500 episodes a generation.
So this is going to be an excellent segue if you guys want to do this.
Okay.
Well, I just haven't been talking because you guys have been talking about Naruto.
Okay.
It's directly relevant to today's Tamagotchi.
We actually have one more thing before we move on to the Tamagotchi.
Oh, I was going to do a great segue.
I'm sorry, man. You can still do the segue. It just won't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we actually have a fan requested Into the West.
Let's cut it out.
So today's Into the West was actually requested by our fan Scott. And the thing that he was asking for was that he was
not done yet, is it?
Oh, no.
Is that, somebody's got a horse.
It's a hungry horse.
He was saying that it was probably about time that...
There it goes.
...that we talked about Regular Show. And the reason that this was brought up was because the newest episode of Regular Show that came out was actually a half-hour-long episode instead of the regular 11 minutes that they usually do. Mm. And they did this episode that parodied all of 90s giant robot anime. And it was called Crisis Baby Duck or something like that.
Yeah, like even the opening to Regular Show was an Evangelion parody.
Yeah, it was. It was really funny.
I need to see this because I love 90s giant robot anime.
Yeah,
I'm kind of on board.
Yeah, it was really good. I watched the whole thing this morning.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
And...
if I had to pick a favorite, like, subgenre of anime, that's right there.
It would be 90s robot anime.
Yeah.
Which is physically impossible to make anymore, so you are out of luck, man.
I know, right?
That's okay, I like 80s
Just
anime.
Wait till 2090.
Yeah, that's right, you have to, yeah, just wait 1,000 years, it's fine. Yeah, it's no problem.
1,000 years?
Yeah, 2,000, no, yeah, no, that's 100 years.
It's actually more like 75 years at this point.
Right. But it's since the 90s.
Oh, so bad at math. I'm so bad at math. Oh.
Okay.
Spiraled out of control and burned.
You introduced math! I watched this episode. It was really funny. You guys watch Regular Show, right? Anybody?
I haven't seen it in a long time, but...
I know of it.
Yeah. You know how crazy it is. I mean, you look at the characters and you obviously see the show and say, that's really weird. They don't lose that flair for this episode because everything about it is just so completely ridiculous. Everything that happens in it is basically just like the animated segments of a Monty Python episode. There are these toy producers who want to contract everybody at the park to make toys of them. And they say no. And so they bring in this giant mutant turkey to destroy their park, and the turkey starts shooting missiles at them. And so Mordecai and Rigby bring in their baby duck friends from another episode, and they're like Sentai heroes,
And then they form a giant robot with them, and they take everybody else in the park to join to form a giant robot with them to fight the toy makers who bring in these geese, who form a giant mecha geese, and they end up fighting. Like they keep throwing in characters to build their giant robots. Like the geese end up forming, like they crash into the moon and they take the moon to make this really big robot.
It's regular show.
It's regular show.
It's the same show from episode one to the end.
But oh, there's so many funny things. Like Benson, the gumball machine guy who runs the park, he's like freaked out by everything that happens. He's basically the fourth wall of the entire episode, where like they all get their mechs and they're all coming together to form the giant robot, and he's flying through like space and he's screaming, ah! You know, everybody else is having a good time, but he's like, I don't understand. And then he forms into the robot, and he gets put into this goo that puts him into a skin tight suit, and he's like freaking out that he's wearing the skin tight suit. And then he gets into the main control room, and they're telling him to do these attacks. He's like, I don't know what attack that is. And they're just like, you have one button at your control unit, press it. It's just like all that stuff was so good.
Yeah. J.G. Quintel knows what he's doing when it comes to making like parodies and just ridiculous action from the 90s. Like he's all about 90s humor. He's great.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Everything J.G. Quintel does is a throwback to the 90s, which nobody who watched Cartoon Network anymore or the new generation who watches Cartoon Network anymore would even understand. Even jokes about like cut-off jeans and mullets.
Yeah, right?
And that was Into the West. So, Sean, you had a great segue.
Had?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Speaking of horses.
That horse just went on and on.
Yeah, it's hungry.
So we're talking today about, like, things that turned us away from anime. Got us to almost quit
almost
and whatnot.
Quit. Yep.
And I'm going to be honest, the thing that was that almost got me to stop was wasn't anime itself, it was actually anime culture. And the reason this is relevant is Naruto's. Though at the time, it was...
When he decided that he was going to quit.
Yeah, right. No, I get it. No, I get it. But, like, yeah. But all I'm saying is it's gotten worse.
Well, at the same time, it's also gotten better. I feel that it's matured.
Yeah.
Like... This is becoming a much more matured culture.
That's because the Naruto fans matured.
They realized they were being jackasses.
They're not
to get jobs.
They're not in middle school anymore.
They step back and let Hatalia take over and be like, "All right, you guys can be stupid now."
I mean, my thing is I just I got to the point where I was just so burnt out with liking anime for the sake of anime, and I couldn't do that. And it was actually Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah, Miyazaki.
Yeah, he you know, said in an interview in the last few months, he's like, part of the reason he doesn't like anime is because it's done by fans.
Right.
And it's like, it's not an expression of storytelling anymore, that they're doing it just for the sake of doing it. And I agree with him. I don't like anime just for the sake of anime. It needs to be a vehicle for a story.
Yeah, and it actually, my point for how I'm like on the teetering on the edge of anime, it kind of relates to that. So continue. Yeah, this is interesting.
I was going to say, I totally agree with that, because there's anime where it's like, I really shouldn't watch this anime, but the story is just, I'm willing to overlook all of these other things that make me just want to not watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah, except that that's something you should not do. You know, that's, if something isn't good, then it's not good.
I don't know, man. Then does that mean that I'm watching Ikitozen because I think it's good?
That's something you have to answer yourself.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that...
You must look within.
I mean that more like there's a trope that I just can't stand, and I'm willing to overlook that trope for, you know, the sake of this story.
But see, I feel like we should be challenging those things. For instance, one of my favorite new animes, Psycho Pass, did not play to tropes. It actually had fairly realistic characters.
Yes.
As far as anime goes. I mean, there were still some tropish things, but, like, the guy and the girl didn't get together. It was more about the story. It was definitely, like, designed to be a self-contained thing. It wasn't, like, trying to start a franchise or anything.
Yeah.
And I liked it for that. I really enjoyed it. What was it? Full Metal Alchemist. Same thing. Jeez. It's about the characters.
Yep.
It's not about the... you know, like, you know, how cute can this be? I mean, that just drives me nuts. And I feel like that for probably the last 5 to 6 years has been what anime culture has been about. And I don't like it. And it turned me off from it. And especially being in the convention circuit for a while there, like, just, you know, it, which is actually why I stopped talking on the show so much, was because I had less to say. I was just, I wasn't watching anything. I wasn't, you know, that was where that went.
Well, see, so this is a recent problem for you too.
Well, I'm getting back into anime now. I'm finding things that I like. I'm being much more selective about what I watch. And I feel that that's a good thing. I don't need to devote my entire life to every single show that comes out.
No, of course not.
Yeah, I certainly don't.
But like, that was a problem I had in the past, was like, I wanted to support the culture,
yeah,
but then the culture went in a way I didn't like. And so I had to make a choice, and I did, and I'm okay with that. But like, at the same time, like, I still want to be able to appreciate the art form for the sake of the art form.
Right.
So like, for me, it was all about divesting the people that watch it from what we were actually watching.
Yeah. I'm going to branch off of what you said. You guys know that I have a weakness for cute things. So cuteness does not affect how I watch anime at all. I love everything hardcore and crazy and violent and manly. Like, you know, that's just my jam as far as anime goes. If it's coupled with a really cool story and really cool things to watch. But cuteness has, you know, I love the fact that they are successful in making things cute. Now, however, the thing that really scares me away from anime is the themes of sex. Like, I understand that sex sells, but the fact that every single thing, like, in a show has to do with sexual tension between two characters is really annoying.
Or one character, or one male character and 10,000 other
girls. Yeah, because, like, I don't want to care about a show that's telling me, like, hey, you should continue watching this because they are going to bang. Like, that is not my game. Like, that, in fact, that, like, really turns me off to the show. And almost every single show has something to do with that. You know, like, some sort of weird tension between two or multiple characters. Even my favorite shows do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or some of my recent favorites, I should say. Not my old favorites. My old favorites are, like, my old favorites are great. because they didn't have that. But like, as far as that goes, like, sexualizing everything and actually making it about the physical act of sex, that bugs me. Like, because I don't want to watch that. I don't care about that. Like, it almost downgrades the characters for me. Like, the value of the characters goes down when they theme that idea. And that is like the main theme overarching that's, like, really making me be like, do I really want to keep watching these kinds of shows? So, next.
Your guys' reasonings are way, way more in-depth than mine is. Honestly, I got over this way early. Because I actually did drop anime for a while. Anybody who's listened to every episode of our show has probably heard that I've hated anime for a really long time. Back when we watched Pokemon in fourth grade, that was great. You know, loved it. Loved Pokemon. Didn't know it was anime at the time. And then all of our anime friends who we were in elementary school with started getting into the anime culture as well. This kind of turns into what Sean was saying. Like, man, our anime friends were annoying in school sometimes when they talked about their animus. And so we, you know, in order to connect with our friends, we tried the shows that they were watching, and guess what? It was Dragon Ball Z on Toonami. And that kind of turned me off when I was 8. You know, like, I wasn't really looking to, you know, for... And one of the things about Dragon Ball Z, too, is when they would advertise it as, like, the greatest action cartoon ever made, and they would play Dragon Ball Z uncut at midnight on Adult Swim when we were younger too, and we would, you know, stay up to watch it, and nothing happened.
Yeah, and there was nothing uncut about it. They maybe they said hell once or something like that. It was like, but they're not fighting, and they're not punching each other, and they're not bleeding. Like, the whole point was you're supposed to watch these characters bleed.
Yeah.
But none of that happened.
Yeah.
And see, and that was like part of my problem was my introduction to anime was really Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, lucky.
And Outlaw Star.
Lucky.
So I had this like really high bar for anime for the longest time. And instead of compromising, I just didn't watch bad anime.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be a part of bad anime.
This was also like kind of an age though before we were old enough that we could go seek out our own
stuff.
Yeah,
I also started a lot later in life into anime. Like I was, well, I mean, my thing was always, you know, Power Rangers.
Yes.
And so that was like what I did as a kid was like Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And so like that kind of carried me through, I guess, the same age that you would have been watching like Dragon Ball Z and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't get into actual like animated anime until I was probably, geez, like almost 20.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the thing too, is that we were into Power Rangers too when we were younger. There was actually a long stint where our parents wouldn't let us watch Power Rangers.
Yeah, right, because it was too violent. We were
for the best.
We were way younger at that point.
No, I don't know about that. I can't remember when they let us.
I remember Power Rangers being really popular when we were in preschool.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and
came out when I was in first grade.
Yeah, people in preschool, like the preschool teachers would be like, "Don't play Power Rangers because that would involve like punching and kicking and stuff." Like,
yeah,
I remember.
Okay, I remember getting that. Yeah, in grade school.
Yeah.
But the Power Rangers at recess.
Thing of it is though is that because we grew up at that small age with Power Rangers, we suddenly outgrew it too fast. Like when we got to a certain age. Suddenly we were like, oh, that's all baby stuff.
Yeah, so
because
like,
only because it was on TV when we were little kids, you know? And so,
yeah. Well, it's because you get to that age where you get the too cool for school.
Yeah, exactly.
So when everybody was like, oh, Pokemon, like, why are you watching Pokemon? It wasn't until we became an adult being like, no, that's still pretty awesome.
Yeah, I gotta buy me a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I'm gonna have to echo some of that. Because I didn't get into anime until I was, you know, again, like, 20-ish too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because when I was a kid we didn't really have cable very often. It was kind of sporadic when we did and didn't have it. And,
exactly.
So it was basically me going back and then, you know, okay, these were shows I liked as a kid, let me, you know, find them, track them down and watch them. And so I started out with that, and then after I finished a show I might, you know, move on to the next one that I had, you know, missed out on or whatever. And then I did quit anime for about a 10-month time period when I deployed to Afghanistan, because I didn't have internet, or, you know, internet good enough to watch anime.
Yeah.
So I started reading manga, because there had been anime that I had watched where, you know, the story ended way too quickly, or whatever, the manga continued, so I started reading the manga, which made me get into manga more than anime, so now whenever I watch an anime, it's usually one that I've already read the manga for.
Yeah.
Or so I basically, you know, pre-screen my anime before I start it, I guess.
That's what a lot of people do. Like, a lot of fans do that. Like, if they read the manga, and then they become a fan of something, like, they're already like, you should watch the show because I read the manga. Like, that's a really popular thing to do. There's a huge, like, crowd within the fandom that does that.
It's kind of like the Game of Thrones fans.
Yes.
Because, like, I've read the books, I'm like, you should watch the show.
I think for me, I'm probably more along the lines of what Sean said, where when I first started watching anime when I was a lot younger, the bar was so high with, like, so many great shows. And, like, nowadays, I don't want to watch an anime for the tropes. I want, like, a cool story with interesting characters. And I feel like a lot of anime might have one of those two things, but they a lot of times don't have both, or at least for me, personally.
Yeah.
And so, Triage X, for example, like, if one of those things was elevated, like, if the reason why they were killing these people had, like, some bigger meaning that I found interesting, I might want to continue watching it. Or if the characters were more interesting or more relatable, I might want to continue watching it. But since both sort of waver for me, I just don't care about it, and I'm...
But their boobs are so big.
I have a.
We'll wait for the Blu-ray release to find out how big they are, though.
Yeah, right.
Two things for you, Dylan. One, let me ask you: is that why you like slice of life animes? Because they tend to be much more character driven.
I actually don't like slice of life animes that much.
It just seems like you always. That's what you're always watching.
We, Jonathan and I, or me specifically, I watch a lot of slice of life. Like, that's one of my favorite genres.
The only one I can really think of that I really, really liked was Kids on the Slope.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And then, side note, thinking back, even before watching Cowboy Bebop, the thing that got me into anime was actually Daft Punk's Interstellar.
Huh. Interstellar 5555.
Yeah. I just...
watch out.
It's not the Nolan movie.
No. I remember seeing it on Adult Swim, and was like, that is cool as hell.
I had the exact same experience. I remember staying up till midnight and watching that with a lot of Gorillaz videos and stuff.
Yeah. Wow. And that was just, like, a mind-blowing experience for me.
You know, I've come across this... I actually recently mapped out what I view anime as, like, as I view my anime and how I rate it. There's, like, a 3 to 4 year gap between between shows that I watch and say, this is awesome. Like, I watched Fooly Cooly for the first time in 2008, and that became my favorite anime. And then...
Good choice.
4 years later, it wasn't until I saw Slice of Life, Nichijou.
Yep.
And then it was this year where something to that caliber showed up, which was Shirobako, which, Dylan, I would suggest Shirobako to you because it's about the animation, or it's about the studio industry itself.
Yeah.
So you work in a studio, you're going to get a lot of the jokes.
And see, I just recently started watching Shirobako as well. I actually probably should have talked about that and what I'm watching. But it's great. Like, it doesn't hold your hand. Like, it doesn't explain things to you like anime usually does. You're watching these animes, and you do it.
Yeah, but the point that I'm making is that I think that me personally, I've pursued through all the garbage just to wait for that next 3 or 4 year stretch down the road where I'm going to see a new show that I really like.
Yeah, I think I totally get that, and I think just as the older I get, the less I'm willing to do that, to, like, sift through stuff to find that one thing that's going to be great, you know, 3 years from now. I just don't have the patience or time to do that as much.
Right, but can't you say that you do that same thing for movies, too, you know, or even video games? You play a lot of crappy video games, and you watch a lot of crappy movies before you find one that's...
Well, no, I don't play a lot of crappy video games, because that's a much bigger expense nowadays. But as far as movies go, that's a much smaller commitment. I mean, one movie is what, like 3 or 4 episodes of what an anime would be?
Yeah, but even still, you watch 3 or 4 episodes before you drop something. So it's like watching one movie.
Yeah, I know. I guess what I'm saying is it's easier for me to, like, take a chance on a movie that's only going to take up, you know, a smaller chunk of my time than an anime that would, you know, take up several hours.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree to a certain extent, I guess. I get what you're saying, too, but I'm just saying that... If you watch a half-hour, 22-minute episode of anime and say, no, I don't like this, then you can stop watching it. That's one-third of a movie.
Well, we're also media moguls. We also, like, made it our job to do that.
Yeah.
Even still, when a new season comes out, I only pick, like, 4 of them to watch. And even if I pick 4 of them, I probably only end up watching, like, 3 of them.
Yeah, well,
This season here of spring was the one that I was waiting for, so this is the one that I'm watching the most shows out of.
Yeah, I picked 6, and now I'm watching 3. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so it happens.
Drop them real quick.
Yeah.
You can drop them real quick because you again, tropes. You find them real quick.
So, Trench, you had mentioned something before we started. So we all discussed our overarching ideas of why anime is bugging us and why we may or may not have left it. But you also mentioned individual shows. Like, what happened in an individual show to us that made us just be like, I'm done. This show is not mine anymore.
Nothing happened to DBZ.
For me, like, one of my most, like, okay, as a general sense, I cannot stand whiny adolescent male protagonists.
Oh, I love you for saying that. Yes!
I cannot fucking stand that. And I'm a huge mecha fan. That ruins so many Gundam series for me.
there's several of those.
Yeah, there's a new trend. We actually talked about this on a recent episode.
Well, maybe not so new if it's been happening in Gundam forever.
Yeah, it's true. So it's actually a trend in anime. But more recently, it's been happening more often, where you have this shonen anime. I mean, technically, Fist of the North Star kind of jumps is balancing in between shonen and seinen. Same with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And those main characters have a certain feel to them, and I personally like those feels. And so you have these other shonen animes where I am totally on board with you, Trench, because one of my favorite shows that I'm watching this season, Danmachi, is it okay to pick up girls? Try to pick up girls in a dungeon? The main character is a bitch. Like, it's just like he
really like, I've read the manga. I haven't started the anime just because I'm like already watching like 4 or 5, and just like I'm not. I got too many.
Yeah.
And the anime, the manga, sorry, he doesn't really come across like that.
Yeah, and it's more, it has to do with the acting, I think.
Yeah, he's a character who wants to be strong, but everybody just knows he's too weak.
Yeah, then there's, like, the whole thing of, like, well, okay, here's this character, he's weaker than the rest of the people, and then, you know, something happens to his main character, the goddess, and he wakes up, and he just starts, like, crying uncontrollably, like, I'm so glad you're okay. I don't want that for my male characters, please.
Yeah.
Like, because that's...
I prefer the main character when somebody gets up in the main character's face and tells them off, and they slump away and go, okay, and then they go away and then maybe fight them later. I don't like that at all. I prefer my characters, somebody gets up in their face and tells them off, they say, shut up, and punches them back. Like, that's the character that I like.
Yeah,
yes. That's the character. Like Ed from Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah. Or
I love that.
Or
Kamina.
Kamina from Gurren Lagann.
He's great. Any character from Terraformers. Yeah. Terraformers was like my perfect show. Like when Terraformers started playing, I was just like, I'm in love. Like this is what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
So
it was good. Good
example. And then I'm also like, again with Gundam. Gundam is like really formulaic. You know, so I'm so sick of the formula. So that's one of the reasons why I got really into Build Fighters and Build Fighters Tri, is because it completely ignored the formula.
You know, I love totally Build Fighters.
Its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really got into Aldnoa Zero because it basically just took the Gundam formula and flipped it on its head.
Aldnoa Zero was awesome. Like the strategy in it.
Oh yeah.
Man. Chess Players wrote that anime.
Anyone else have any examples of specific animes?
Oh, I think I've just talked about Triage X enough because that's the freshest one on my brain.
It's true. No, yeah, I would absolutely agree because I thought about starting Triage X, but now like you and Jonathan have already kind of sampled it for me. Like I'm just like, all right, I'd read the manga if I had to, because it was the same thing with High School of the Dead. Same creators, read the manga and forget the anime.
Manga's I read the synopsis for the anime and I was like, I'm just gonna pass on this one.
Sometimes the synopsis is enough.
Like that other one, it just said vampires and I was like, nope.
So in that case, it's time to move on to some fan service.
Mm-hmm.
We went through pretty much all of our fan service in the show because it was a lot of here, check out this thing, or read Naruto, thank you. So we don't really have a lot left. The only one that I have was the other half of Brad's fan service, which he was contributing to the psychologically disturbing anime that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's got some good examples. He said that School Days was one that really messed him up. And if anybody knows the School Days anime, they chose... It's a visual novel that was super messed up, and the end was just the worst. They chose the bad ending, the ultimate bad ending, where one of the main characters just goes off and kills everyone. But the way that they do it in the anime is so dark and awful. Like, it's a horrible, horrible thing to end a really cute love story anime, which is what the anime was. And School Days just messed up everybody. Like, you can go on to YouTube and just search School Days ending. You'll find out.
Yeah, it's easily. Just if you can just type in School Days and it will be like, I know you want to watch the School Days ending.
Yeah. And then the other one that he said was Berserk.
Like, see, and that's actually really good because it touched on a lot of the themes that I talked about last time from Black Lagoon, but it's in Berserk, and it's really weird. Berserk did a lot of things that were really disturbing and really messed up, so I agree with him. I kind of it's kind of unbelievable that I didn't think of saying that. Yeah. But I'm still reading the manga for Berserk, and I'm just so into it.
Yeah, some other ones that he was talking about was Evangelion, which he watched, when he was younger. And when you do that. And he did the same thing with Iki-Tosen, too. He was way younger when he watched Iki-Tosen, too. So all the stuff that was just kind of not ready for this, not ready for my brain to process this, that's kind of what happened.
My brain doesn't understand. I can get that. I totally get that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but I think that was the only other one that we had.
Well, did you mention Elfin Lied?
And Elfin Lied, yeah, of course.
Because, but he hasn't seen all of it, so. You know. You should try, dude, go back to Elfin Lied and finish it.
Read the manga.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Oh, it was so good.
That'll mess you up.
Oh, I love the manga. Oh, it's the one thing that's better than the TV show.
But that's all we have for fan service. The rest was in the episode. We haven't done a sentimental anime in forever.
Yeah. So we're gonna start the sentimental anime trench. I you only listened to the last episode, so you don't have the benefit of being prepared for this.
I don't think any of us are prepared now for this.
I don't think I've ever caught the sentimental anime section before.
None of us are prepared.
Sporadic on my Wicked Anime listening.
So let's find out how it works. All right. So tell us what you've learned from this episode of Wicked Anime.
Actually, this episode of Wicked Anime, I learned that we're really smart.
That's right. And going off of that, from what I've learned on this episode of Wicked Anime, we are really smart, but we also, because we also figured out that you can fit 1,000 years into 100 years.
Never gonna live that down.
No, probably not.
Give me math!
I learned that I am not actually a real person, but a figment of Andrew's imagination while he's in a coma.
Is anything actually going to be about anime and what we learned today? No, that's what this whole thing is about. Next. I think Sean has just completely shut himself out. Is he still here?
I'm here. I don't know.
Just say something about
Power Rangers. I learned a bunch of animes I shouldn't watch. Stop being so overprepared for the show. I took notes and stuff again. You guys never do that.
We do too. We have text edits everywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be your thing that you learned.
Yeah, true.
They're like footnotes. Trench, did you learn anything from this episode?
You guys are horrible bastards and spring shit like this on you.
That was actually a life lesson right there.
He learned that we failed our checkup with him.
That's right.
That's right. And that's what we learned on this episode of Wicked Anime. Yay. We learned so much. No, we didn't. We never do.
We never do.
It's how we got to 64 episodes.
We just keep spouting out nonsense. It falls out on the table and it turns into an episode.
We kind of molded into a sandcastle of an episode.
Yeah.
It's like not those... whether or not you learned anything. It's whether or not you care enough to actually act upon it and change anything.
Right, yeah.
I believe I can answer for everybody emphatically when I say we won't.
Wake up, Andrew. Wake up.
So if you guys... So if you guys want to join our conversation and you want to say, hey, this is what I really hate about anime and this is what's going to make me quit someday when I'm an angry 80-year-old anime watcher, or maybe sooner, who knows, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. Where you might be listening to this podcast right now if you're not listening to us at soundcloud.com/wickedanime or on iTunes where you can rate and review, please.
What was that?
He was asking please.
I was being polite.
Yeah.
Dylan.
You really buried the lead on that please. Please.
You can also find our videos at nerdyshow.com/wickedanimes next to our podcast episodes, where you can also find our video episodes at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, which is the main hub of our show. New episodes are in production right now. They might take a little while, so please don't get angry with us like you did last time.
Yeah, we'll go back to being a dead channel and people.
Yeah, be like, you guys are alive again.
Woo!
We never died.
Yeah.
We're on the internet. Because we are also on Tumblr, where you can find us at tumblr.wickedanime.tumblr.com. Yeah. You'll find something else if you go to tumblr.wickedanime.com, like nothing.
Which might be better in some cases.
And you can find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we give you all of the cool news updates that we find, events that we're going to. You guys can talk to us there, share your thoughts, and we have a great time. And somewhere else where we also have a really great time is over on Twitter, where you can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime.
Woo! Oh, I think I'm actually following the show on Twitter now.
Cool. That would be cool. I think that would help. And we can. We're gonna.
Somebody has to see our tweets. It might as well be Sean.
That's right. Yeah.
We're just gonna get our CBIC responses for everything.
Yeah. Well, soon you might see our legs for Golden Week.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
What is this? A picture of a polar bear?
You have white hair on your legs?
No.
It was hairy.
Yeah. It's more like werewolf.
Yeah.
It's more like werewolf.
That's probably more.
Yeah. That's what I was.
We're Eastern European. Sorry.
Oh, Lord.
So I think that is everything.
Is that everything? Kind of just...
Check us out.
Yeah, it spiraled down there to the point where I don't even know. We should just end it.
Yeah. So thank you very much, guys. We will see you next time on the Wicked Anime Podcast. Well, you'll listen to us next time on the Wicked Anime Podcast. We'll see you later somewhere else. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll give you a high five.
Maybe never.
Yeah.
High five.
Did you just high five yourself?
Yeah, homeschool high five.
Wait, so homeschool kids don't even get a high five from their parents?
They might, but you know, it's like, hey, you finished your homework, good job. You know? And
good job doing the homework I gave you. Me.
I'm appropriating the homeschool high five.
All right, so thank you, everybody, for joining us again. Thank you, Trench, for putting up with us this episode. It was a blast having you on. We have to do this more often.
Yeah, now that he's seen behind the curtain, he's never going to listen to us ever.
He's like, oh, no.
Now that he's seen behind the curtain.
He's like, it's confirmed they're terrible.
He's just like, edit me out, guys. Edit me out.
Sorry, guys, I don't know what happened. I lost my audio track. Go on without me.
But seriously, thank you for joining us this episode. It was a blast.
It was a good time.
And we are about to sign off the only way you know how, and you know your favorite. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Wake up.
Oh,
yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and stop.
Jonathan sent me the stuff, and then I listened to the last episode earlier this morning just to refresh myself.
Oh, good. That was a good episode, too.
It was.
That was us on point.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys actually listen to the show?
Yeah.
Occasion.
Yeah, man, I make great jokes.
Yeah.
I actually meant to listen to last week's episode, and I just didn't get the chance to. I got, like, super busy at work, and then, yeah, that went out the window.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We were pretty good. It was us on point. We had our Wheaties and
still a thing.
Yeah, with
Jesus, what are you guys from, like, the 1940s?
I don't know. It'll probably be Floyd Mayweather by next week.
Yeah, we had a nice bowl of Wheaties while we were rolling our hoop down the road.
Yeah.
That's okay, that's a different 40s. That's like 1840s.
They had hoops in the 1940s.
I'm sure they did, because they're probably the same hoops. Because
all the metal was going towards the war, and all they had to play with was wooden hoops.
Until
history.
They're fine lead-based paints.
Yeah. And asbestos.
That was probably a thing.
Tasty.
You guys can't see it, but I'm face-palming right now.
We can hear it.
That's great radio. Yeah. I'm pantomiming facepalm.
I know, I was actually facepalming.
Oh, I love this.
Wicked A!
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.